VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning, it's 10 o'clock, and it's ugly outside, so sit home and listen to the radio. How's that for good advice? This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee in the studio today, and?
I'm into the studio today.
There we go. Now we're getting a little bit fuzzy there. Adam is perched in a duck blind in Arkansas, pretending he's got to go to work this morning or something like that.
Something like that.
Anyway, it's sounding good again. We've been testing this theory a little bit lately, but it seems to work just fine. So we might as well just say that everybody's here as usual, because as far as any of the listeners are concerned, that's exactly what's going on. I'd like to welcome all the regulars. You know, the reason we do this all the time is because of you. And we hear more and more often that people are listening to the show, and it just makes it even more fun to do than ever before. So keep listening, tell your friends. If you're driving by in a car or something like that, and happens to be on this channel, stick around for an hour. You might learn something. And if not, hopefully you'll just be entertained. But if you don't learn anything, Adam and I will walk away thinking we failed our mission today. So there's always things that people don't know. There's always other people besides you that don't know those things. So if you call in, first, you'll be put directly to the head of the line. Callers have priority on our time. And if you are afraid to call in, then you can always reach us. I'll have Adam go through all the various ways, which is go to our website, learn to spell the name, go to the website, and there's a link that sends you right there. So we will be available to you, and if you want to ask a question for us to answer on the show or in person at some later time, just please let us know. I say there are always things that people don't know. But it's been an interesting month, week, whatever.
Yeah, all of that.
Interesting is a euphemism for good.
Yeah, it's too bad Friday had to happen because we had a decent week.
We were going into it just fine.
Yeah, it was relatively calm trading, no huge swings really. And then Friday, just it all kind of fell out. And I'm not even really sure what changed between Thursday and Friday. The news, of course, was about the tariffs and the trade wars and the slowing global growth. But, I mean, I didn't see a huge difference between Friday and the rest of the week as far as news was concerned. Did you?
We learned nothing Thursday night that would change the mood. In fact, we got a trivia question about that right now. I'll actually do it right after the first break, but we'll get into that. But, no, I was looking at the numbers this morning. Yesterday, the Dow lost 496 to close down 288. So it had a nice gain going into it. NASDAQ lost 159 to close down 58. So we had a 100-point gain going into that. And the S&P lost 50 to close down 33. So we even had 17 S&P points going into Friday, which would have made one heck of a good week if only the market had not opened. So what happened?
Yeah. I honestly, nothing happened. That's the funny thing about this market is it doesn't seem like anything has to happen for it for people to get jittery and sell off. It's very strange. I think the fact that this trade war has lingered on so long is weighing on a lot of investors' minds and making them a little bit skittish.
So there's also a lot of year-end positioning going on, and that's the topic of my tax thing for a little later in the show today.
True. There were several mutual funds paid out capital gains and dividends this week, so there could have been some of that.
Oh, Adam, let's interrupt right there because there's something I wanted to bring up today. A lot of mutual funds like Oakmark International did their dividend day yesterday on Friday. Every time a mutual fund uses a Friday for its dividend distribution, there's a problem the next morning in that the new shares don't show in your account. So if people wake up this morning and check their mutual fund balances and they think, oh, my God, what happened? I lost so much money in Oakmark International. No, you didn't. It just hasn't been credited to the new shares at the new share price yet. You will, on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, it should be by late Monday anyway, you will have all those credited to your account. So check again Tuesday morning, and between now and then, do not panic. It's a simple explanation, and all in all, a very good one.
There. Yeah, that happens just about every year, and inevitably someone freaks out. But it will be there on Monday, we promise.
Yeah, and looking at the size of the distribution in Oakmark International, that was a fund that didn't even have a very good year, and it was huge. So it's going to make a sizable difference in what you see on your screens. Do not worry.
Right, yeah. So after all that, 1%, 1.2% on the Dow, 1.3% on the S&P, and just 1% on the NASDAQ. So all in all, it wasn't a terrible week. We've seen a lot worse lately, but it certainly didn't help. There were a couple of things that came out of it that I liked, though. The first one being that bearish sentiment just hit a recent high. And so that means people are, mom and pops in particular, are getting very scared to invest. And that is typically a very good contrarian sign market. So I think we said last week or the week before that we hadn't scared enough investors out of the market yet. Well, it looks like
we did
finally
it.
Happening.
Yeah, bullish sentiment is down under 21% now. That is one of the finest things that I could have read this morning.
The other bit of bright news this week was that jobless claims, but frequently on the show because it is such a good recession indicator, plummeted back down to where they had been. They spiked up a little bit over the last 2 weeks, and now they came in at 206,000 this week, which is back down to near its recent low. So we always like seeing that because without that spiking, the chances of a recession are probably still very low.
Mm-hmm. Also, some of the smaller companies right now have been reporting earnings in the off season, and they've been stellar. Earnings and revenues have been stellar, but nobody cares anymore.
It's true. Even the even earnings beats are rewarded by share prices dropping.
Yep.
And it's really across all asset classes. There really hasn't been much that's been spared. I was looking for a long time this morning, trying to find some bright spots, and it looks like
utilities. That's it.
Yeah. Well, and even that, they're still negative. They're just not as negative.
Right.
Treasuries are pretty well gaining 3% this month. They're still down by more than 4% on the year. Natural gas has been a big winner, although it has dropped this month about 16%. It's still up on the year by a wide margin, like over 30%. Gold is 1.5% this month, and silver is up about 3%. But outside of that, it's been tough to find anything that's been spared. So it's just pretty much a broad market sell-off at this point. China's still down 25% despite positive news out of there lately. Their market hasn't been declining sharply like it had been, but it's still down almost 25% this year. So until we see this trade war thing get wrapped up, you're probably not going to see much improvement in that sector.
Yeah, you're about 90% good reception. You fade in a little bit, so if that's because you're moving around, keep it real still. It's not bad. There might have been a couple little things that got missed, but anyway, just stay with us. I've been saying for several weeks now, neither a buyer nor a seller be. This is not a time to react to the market. There are a couple exceptions in that, though. One of them is people who are doing tax loss harvesting, which I will talk about in depth later in the show. They should be looking to maybe do some very careful and very planned selling. And then the other ones are 401k contributors, people who are working and putting it in every month. Do not stop your contributions. If anything, increase them if you can, because everything's on sale. We'll get back into that a little bit more after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 904-636-7888. Here's the question, and it's about one of the things we were talking about in the first segment. So far in the fourth quarter of this year, we've had 11 Fridays. On how many of those Fridays did the market go up? So you have a choice between 0 and 11. Should be pretty easy. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should be. Never know. Anyway, as I said, lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Yeah, do you want to wrap up a little bit? What happened this week, actually Friday, was that the market officially entered on all three indices a correction phase. That's when you drop 10% from the recent highs. And that's the first time it's happened since March of 2016. Care to comment?
You know, corrections are painful, but they're healthy for the market. A lot of times the market will overshoot, get ahead of itself, and really need it to pull back. And it presents a buying opportunity most of the time. I'm not going to say that if this is or is not, I don't know. But the correction itself is not a bad thing for investors, although it feels really bad. On a sector basis, there were the three sectors that have really been hit hard. They're in bear market territory: energy, materials, and financials. So if you're holding or if you're overweight in any of those three, you're probably not very happy with your portfolio right now.
Oh, and you're probably not even overweight anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Industrials and tech are really not that far behind. They're not in bear market territory yet, but they're not doing well either. And so utilities are the least class, and real estate is right behind that. But really, there's not a lot of places to hide right now. Everything's been dragged down in this recent market decline. The economic data was actually pretty positive this week. There were a couple of weak spots. Business confidence has been declining for a few months, but it's still right up near its all-time high. So it's down, but it's still at an elevated level. So that's something to keep an eye on. If it keeps declining, that could be a bad sign. The other one is auto sales. They just haven't improved in the last 3 years. And with as robust as the economy appears to be right now, that's an unusual signal that we're seeing in the market. You would think that auto sales would increase in this time or during this type of economy, and it's not happening.
Well, it's a demographic shift that's going to be going on for a long time, as you've discussed many times.
Yeah, it's just 3 years is at this point, I think we can call it a trend. So
right,
definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and besides, they last so long now. The replacement cycle on automobiles has gotten way longer.
That's true, and people aren't driving as much, younger people specifically.
Right.
A lot of people kept their cars in 08 through 11 for a lot longer than what they normally would because of the recession.
Mm-hmm.
So after the recession, auto sales bounced back pretty sharply. And now it's leveled off. So maybe those people just, everyone's got a new car in the last 4, 5, 6 years and just doesn't need to replace it because they do last so long. So things are definitely changing in the automobile industry, and it is showing up in the data.
And you've also got interest rates climbing, which I firmly believe has come to a very sudden pause. Every day of the week, I get more and more convinced that the Fed next week is going to just take a breather. A lot of people disagree with me, and I'll be the first one to say I'm wrong if I am, but if the Fed does not raise rates next week, don't be surprised, and I'll bite my tongue instead of saying I told you so. Maybe.
It's funny, two weeks ago, I was 100% sure they were going to raise
rates. I know you
were. And this week, I really changed my tune. I'm probably about 50-50 on it at this point.
And you know, the Fed has absolutely no responsibility for what happens to the stock market. But you
no.
also know that these people have some money, and you can bet a lot of it's invested. And
if they don't
feel it any other way, they're going to feel it personally.
And they certainly don't want to be responsible for a big market decline.
No, they do not. Mr. Powell, in his first term as the Fed chairman, would not really like to face his renewal one day, having had a track record like he has so far.
Yeah, and if you think Trump's been hard on him so far,
it
would get a lot worse.
Pretty soon he's going to have a nickname.
Yeah, exactly.
The things that I really did like a lot were that unemployment claims dropping so much and the market sentiment from the smaller investors. That was really, to me, a wonderful thing. Now, historically, the last 10 trading days, which we're going into starting Monday, have been very strong. Will that keep up?
And there's no reason they couldn't be this year as well. But there's just a lot of negative sentiment out there right now. And without some positive news, it's hard to think that we're going to see 10 positive days to end the year, but we'll see what happens.
Now, back to those people who are still working and contributing to their 401ks, do not look at this as, well, back in the old days, in my previous radio life, we were in a period just coming out of the Great Recession, and we got a caller from a young guy who was working. He had stopped contributing to his 401k, and I remember it like it was yesterday. He said, "You did what?" All that time he'd been working, and all that time he'd been putting money into his 401k in the money market. And every week for 18 months, it got cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And I think he called in because he wanted to tell us how smart he was. And unfortunately, that was not what got said to him. about that? So if you're doing it, the best thing you can do is just don't make any changes right now. If you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're contributing and buying, contribute and buy. And the only reason to sell is what I'm going to talk about in the next segment, and that is the careful tax loss harvesting plan that a lot of people are using. But the biggest individual news yesterday, and I don't know how much you've caught up on this, Adam, Johnson & Johnson had a burp. Did you see it?
No, I did not see that.
There is a report that its veracity I cannot verify. There is a report that in their talc, the baby powders and such, there has been traces of asbestos. And the report was not that it existed. The report was that the executives have known this and covered it up for 40 years. Now, how true that is, I don't know, but you know, and I know what happens to a company when a rumor like that comes out. It isn't pretty. If it is true, they're going to have to do something rather dramatic. If it's not true, it's going to bounce back real quickly. Do you remember, I don't know if you're old enough, Adam, but many, many years ago, Johnson & Johnson took a big dip also, and it was on a report something was going wrong in a drug manufacturing plant that they owned in Puerto Rico. And it was really ugly, really ugly. And then it was uncovered that this report was made by a disgruntled employee and had no basis in truth. And for people who sold on that rumor, they got taken to the cleaners big time. I do not believe in selling news like this. I do not believe in buying news like this. I believe in letting the veracity of the news speak for itself and make longer-term decisions rather than short-run guesses. So just something to keep in mind. They hurt, J&J hurt the indices yesterday as much as anything and as much as most things in combination. If this proves to be nothing more than a rumor, then the comeback could be pretty startling there, too. It's very difficult for me to believe, knowing what I know about that company and the nature and validity of the product line, the people, and everything about it. It's a world-class place. If this stays true, I will again be the most surprised person around. So don't, my favorite little line, I always keep it in front of me on the show. Marvin Gaye said, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. Sometimes that's very good advice. So
yeah, they did take a big hit yesterday.
Yeah, they really did. There was a 10%er on a huge company, and what that means, I think it was $31 billion in market cap that came off of it. Now, was it worth it or not? I don't know. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. But c'est la vie. Anyway, tax loss harvesting, I'll give you a little introduction to it. If you are the kind of person who has a non-qualified, meaning a taxable brokerage account, and you own assets in there, notably but not limited to particular stocks, you might have noticed over the past few days, weeks, months, that some of them are kind of underperforming the market, and many of them may be at a value that's below your cost on them. Well, IRS as a method that you can take advantage of to reap some of that in the form of a tax benefit to you where you can reduce your current taxes owed, It's very particular. It has a lot of ifs, ands, and buts, and I'm going to talk about it after the break. Meanwhile, during the music segment here, we'll tell you that IRS has changed some mileage rates for next year. You get to deduct 58 cents a mile for business travel. That's up from 54.5, and this all starts January 1. 20 cents for medical or moving mileage. That's up from 18 cents a mile. And the 14 cents per mile for charity has stayed the same. Apparently, Congress just fixed that one. So it's an acknowledgement that somewhere along the year, the price of driving a mile has gone up a little bit. And we're getting a little relaxation in gas prices right now. But as spring comes, look for that to go back. So just so you know, if you're able to take some of those things, you'll get a little bit more benefit. All right, got to run. There's a quick break coming. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
Adam's joining us remotely from someplace up north in Arkansas. God, I love saying up north in Arkansas.
It's really beautiful here, but yeah. It's truly in the middle of nowhere.
I remember for 41 years saying down there in Arkansas, I much prefer it this way. Much happier with the place we live. I have a couple more things. One quick thing on the markets. Small caps officially entered bear territory, down more than 20% off their highs. And yet, think about this. Who does more business domestically than internationally? Small business. What is the weakness in the economy? It's the international economy. What's the strength in the economy? Domestics. Who should be thriving right now, which was proven out in these off-seasonal data for revenues and earnings. Small caps, I'm not going to tell you when to buy them, but look at increasing your percentage of small caps and look at it soon. I cannot believe that when the market starts coming back that they aren't going to come back and lead the way into the recovery. Just a little aside. Does it make sense?
That's one of the things. Yeah, it's one of the things about this sell-off is that there aren't any patterns that indicate that that this is for real. So gold isn't spiking. All the sectors are moving down together. There isn't, I mean, except for utilities, which is a little bit of a safe asset, but it's still moving down. So there just isn't anything that says that, okay, this is being driven in a rational way by this fear, which will come to fruition. It's just a fear-based sell-off, and I think that it will turn around.
And for you value buyers out there, I'm not seeing a lot of dividend cuts. And you know what happens when stocks that pay steady dividends go down in price. That means your yield goes up. So take a good look around. There is never a time when there isn't opportunity somewhere. All right, a federal judge ruled the Affordable Care Act invalid, unconstitutional yesterday. What does it mean to you? Virtually nothing. If you're looking for some big change that's going to come up either on this, the last day of open enrollment, or into next year, you're not going to find it. But what it did was it started the process going again. And this will go now. I thought surely they'd find a way to appeal it to the Ninth Circuit in California, but that's not happening. It's going to the Fifth Circuit, which is a very well-respected court. From there, it will probably get appealed to the Supreme Court, and here's where I see trouble. We have the exact same Supreme Court breakdown that we did on the day it was declared constitutional several years ago by then new Chief Justice Roberts, defecting from the conservative side, and I think correctly based on his interpretation of the word tax. So now, since there's no longer a tax upon the people for not doing it, that sets us up in a different environment. Will that make Roberts change his mind? Will it take long enough for another court appointee in? You think you saw a fight on Kavanaugh? If this thing's pending out there, and if one of the liberal justices were to get sick or die and have to be replaced, and Trump pulls another nominee off of his list, you have seen nothing yet from the Democrats who will try to preserve that seat in the Supreme Court. And that is not just a prediction. That's as close as I'm ever going to come to a promise for anybody. So hang on. It's going to get lots of fun, I think.
Yeah, it's, would really be ugly. And by fun, you mean absolutely miserable.
Yeah, if you're a political junkie, it's great theater. That's the way I look at
it. Yeah, I just think it would be ugly and not fun to watch.
All right, and I don't know if I've reminded people on this one or not, but Marriott announced the 500 million person data breach 4 years after they discovered it. The lesson there, to me, is to freeze your credit. And anybody who wants to know how to freeze your credit, go to ClarkHoward.com. He has an excellent analysis and procedure for freezing your credit, and I believe it can all be done for free now. I think everybody's subject to that. So that's just a little tip. Something, you know, the year end is a time for picking up loose ends and wrapping things up and putting a bow on it for Christmas time. That's one of them. Take care of your credit because it gets worse by the day. All right, another goodie. For 2 weeks, Adam and I have been expressing our deep surprise because once in each of those 2 weeks, we agreed with Kramer. Well, you should be very comforted to know that we're back to normal.
Oh, good.
Yep. So Kramer's advice for this week is to dump your ETFs in favor of individual stocks. Like that one?
No.
Let's hate it. Let's solve our problems by undiversifying our portfolios, people. What does that do? Take away risk? No. Multiplies risk. Back to normal. Just, yeah. I knew you'd get a kick out of that because I sure did.
So I've got one as well. Do you feel like you see more pets than, say, 10, 20 years ago?
We missed it. You cracked up. Try again.
I said, do you think that more people have pets now than 10, 20 years ago?
Sure, they take them on airplanes.
Yeah, they're everywhere. It's almost weird that my family doesn't have a pet. I've got kids who are allergic, so we don't have a dog or a cat. Mm-hmm.
You can borrow ours anytime, you know that.
Oh, I know, but we're just definitely not the norm. Everyone seems to have it. So I did a little research. I wanted to know if pet spending has outpaced inflation. In 2017, people spent $69.51 billion on their pets, and this year is projected to be $72 billion.
Aww.
So I went back to 1994, and the annual spend was about $17 billion. So that's an increase of 323% in the last 24 years.
Which certainly outpaces inflation, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would say that people are definitely more obsessed and feel free to spend a lot more money on their pets these days.
Well, that gives me warm fuzzies. I like it.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Mm-hmm. All right, a reminder of people, lines are open, 222-8255, and the question is, there have been 11 Fridays so far in the fourth quarter. How many of them were positive for the market? An even number. All right, I got another one here. Speaking of 401ks and people who might stop or slow down their contributions, there's a couple of problems, and one of them is very timely. First off, some nationwide statistics. Millionaires, defined as people with $1 million or more in their investment accounts, have an average contribution of 16% of their salary. Other people, not millionaires, have an average contribution of 8.6% annually. Is there a correlation there? I think so.
Don't you?
What's the secret to becoming wealthy when you get older? Contribute, but do it right. Ever heard the term true up your 401k? That's something that I didn't know.
But I don't think I have.
I knew about the process, but I didn't know this. A lot of employers match their employees' deferrals into the 401k. They do it various ways. Some employers match a dollar for a dollar up to 3%. And much, much more common than that is that when you put in a dollar, your employer matches at 50% or 25% or something like that. Well, that's all just fine. You want to, in fact, we hear this all the time, and we even say it to people all the time. The very minimum you should strive to contribute is where you get every penny of match from your employer, because that is just free money, and leaving it on the table is not acceptable. But what might happen if you are the kind of person, as I like to be, that likes to accelerate your contributions to the plan to get them in there and have more time in the market to work, you might have enough other income or a high enough salary that you might defer a sizable amount of each paycheck in there. But what can happen is, in most 401ks, is that you put so much in that there's a limited amount of match that the employer will do in a month, say 3%. So if you only contribute for 4 or 5 months until you reach your personal limit and can't contribute anymore, you may only have half or less of the employer match available to you. Now, that's okay if your employer has a true-up plan. And all that means is, at the end of the year, the employer looks at all your contributions and takes the percentage that they would normally contribute, even though it didn't happen because you accelerated your personal contributions, and they'll make it up. But what about if it doesn't have one? You're going to leave money on the table, and I'll finish this up right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And the segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Give Troy a call at 662-9794. Quick wrap-up from when we were leaving. If you're the kind of person that accelerates your 401k contributions so that they end up before the year ends up, go back and look and make sure you got all the match that you can get. And if you then have to ask your employer if it's a true-up plan so you'll get it. If not, start spreading your contributions across 12 months, and you will be sure that you get everything you're due. Hate to see people leave money on the table. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Great. What's up with you?
Oh, man, I'm actually in Texas this morning. I'm playing piano this weekend for an artist, and so I'll be out of town this weekend. But I wanted to call and just let you know how the Messiah for Hunger fight event went this weekend.
Okay, you're cracking up a little bit, but how did it go?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it was amazing. I actually saw a couple of your listeners who I never met who heard Hunger on the air, and that came up to me and said, hey, you know, we heard this on the Van Wee show, and it was fantastic. And that's great.
Wonderful. Super.
And so we were able to basically pack out both performances, and we raised over $40,000 for the
site. Nice. Congratulations. Wow. I know it was hard work. It was a big undertaking, and I'm very happy.
Yeah, it really was. And they were giving here and there, but you know, I was very pleased with that. I've actually already had a principal text me and say, we got added to Hunger Fight's distribution list, and my school just got 500 meals to send home with kids.
Wow. Cool.
So, yeah,
keep it up.
Already making an impact in the community, and so I just thank you guys for all your airtime and helping me push into me. It was a great success.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Merry Christmas. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve. Y'all take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye. And we replace Larry with, good morning, Larry.
Well, good morning. This is the other Larry.
Hello, other Larry.
My other brother.
Yeah, it does remind me of that. The old Newhart show.
Live on world tour, Van Wee Financial. Live, no jive. can I hit you with a guess?
Absolutely.
On the trivia, yep. 4?
Ooh, too high.
Ooh, whoa, wow, I knew it wasn't 11.
The point of this whole thing is that you know that the negativity is all throughout the investor class of people. Ooh. When Fridays produce more sell-offs than not, because people don't want to hold anything over a weekend. That means they're hesitant.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, that's my second point. You are precisely right, and you're very close, but just a little too high.
Hey, well, you know, it's kind of like horseshoes. Anyway, can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
Do you think the petrodollar, the price of oil, how much influence is that having, or are people ignoring that?
No, they're not ignoring it completely. Actual influence, I think, is more psychological. You know, I got an old saying for almost everything. But one of them is the cure for high gas prices is high gas prices. The cure for low gas prices is low gas prices. And that's called a behavioral analysis. When it costs more, people buy less. When it costs less, people buy more. So I think it's going to be in a range as it usually is, unless there's a world event that shakes it up. And I don't think it makes that much difference. If you notice, consumer spending last month was up 0.2%, despite a huge drop in gas station sales. So people are very happy. And they, if you spend, say, $30, $40 a month less because your gas is cheap, and you're on the way to Target, maybe you're going to spend part of it at Target.
God help.
Yeah, I think from a national economy standpoint, it shifts sales more than does anything else, and then it corrects itself over time because of supply and demand.
Well, so. You don't want to gamble, don't play five-card draw, right?
You got that right.
Okay, quick indicator. The price of scrap steel is at a steady 6 cents a pound.
Okay, good.
So there you go. Y'all be good.
All right, take care. Thanks for the call.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely true. Let's see. I got to spend a minute here and do what I promised to do. Last week, we were talking about required minimum distributions. That conversation was aimed mostly at people with tax-deferred retirement accounts. Today, though, I'm talking to the other people, the kind that have the taxable accounts. And it's December, and this is the time when you can always do some tax planning. But this December, perhaps more than any December in the last decade or so, probably is producing some extra possibilities for harvesting tax losses because so many things have dropped in value recently. So what happened? Well, back in the Great Recession, which most of us remember a little too well, there were a lot of sales being made during that 18 months, and they were at losses. Well, the IRS is just generous as they could possibly be, he said sarcastically, when it comes to taxing your gains, because they do that no matter how big, no matter how many in the year that you get them. They're not nearly so considerate on the other side. You can deduct a mere $3,000 a year from your other income for losses. Now, one of the common mistakes that investors make is that some people believe that $3,000 means the only loss you can write off in a given year is $3,000, no matter what. That is not true. You can write off every loss you get that is offset by a dollar of gain plus $3,000. So if you have $10,000 in gains and $13,000 in losses, your reportable number is minus $3,000. So don't fall victim for that. Now, you don't lose any amount above $3,000. It is merely pushed forward. Now, that number, the $3,000, I honestly cannot remember a time when it wasn't just $3,000. Now, why they're not indexing that number, well, I could be facetious and say
why.
We don't know, but we all know why, because they don't want you to be offsetting your income any more than that. They want their money, and they want it now. So how do you do this? Well, look over your accounts, and there are two columns on your brokerage account, which is usually right online, when it says cost basis. So you go to the cost basis tab, and there's one that says realized gains, and there's one that says unrealized gains. The unrealized gains are the things you currently own, and it shows you their value today, and it shows you the price you paid. If the value today is lower, you have an unrealized loss. The term unrealized pertains to the fact that you have not sold it. If the value today is greater than the cost value to you, then you have an unrealized gain. So you aren't taxed on unrealized gains, and you're not able to write off unrealized losses. But go over to the realized gain and loss tab, and you can net them out. So if you've, along the way this year, maybe taken $5,000 in gains and $3,000 in losses, well, you're going to be reporting a $2,000 capital gain this year. Flip back to the other tab. Maybe there's something sitting in there that's down $2,000. Well, if you sell it now before the end of the year, that will offset that. Further, if you sell something else that goes another $3,000, then your capital gains worksheet is going to come out at minus $3,000. All comes off this year's taxes. It is easy to do, but there are, as always, some limitations on it. One of them is the big one probably is called the wash sale rule. If you sell something and buy it back within 30 days, the loss that you wanted to take is deemed not deductible due to the wash sale rule. So what you do is when you sell it, if it's something you're going to buy back eventually, you go out on your calendar, count to the 31st day, and make yourself a note, buy back the XYZ that I sold, and then you'll always be fine. Now, in the old days, when we were young and laws were a little easier, we played all kinds of games with this. You sell your taxable account stuff, and you buy it back in your IRA, and you've got the same holdings. Not anymore. A few years ago, they clamped down on that, and they will find you, and you will be declared in violation of the wash sale. Not to mention, most custodians now are really up on all this stuff, and they'll catch it before you catch it. So don't expect to get away. The second part of that is called the substantially equal, or substantially the same rule. So if you were to, for instance, sell the SPY, which it mimics the S&P 500, you're selling 500 stocks. If you replace it that same day with DIA, the diamond, that only tracks 30 stocks in the Dow. They are not substantially the same, and you will get away with that one. But if you sold SPY and bought an S&P 500 mutual fund with the same 500 stocks in it, you're going to get caught. So when you go tax harvesting, keep those things in mind. If you have any questions, give us a call. We are actually working until the end of the year. So anyway, there have been three Fridays that actually gained money. That's it. So only 3 out of 11. That shows you what negativity there is in the market out there. Don't fall for it. Be merry. We'll see you next week. This is the Vanley Financial Hour.